Good morning. So, standing up here today, I never thought that I would describe a head trauma as sacred. You see, over the past few weeks, as I've struggled to come back online, so to speak, I found my brain going to strange and previously uncharted territories. As most of you know, I wasn't here last Sunday for worship. My brain and my emotions were simply overmatched. So that night, after spending the day resting, I had a particular craving for raw fish, otherwise known as sushi, right? And so Keita and I decided, oh, what the heck, let's go out for a treat. So we went to a local restaurant and we sat over green tea and tempura, engrossed in conversation, mostly because I was struggling. You see, I confessed to her that night that I wasn't sure that I loved God enough. And before I knew it, I had a sermon for today. I mean, who knew that sushi could be so revelatory? But as I said, the brain goes to strange places when it's been traumatized. For me, last week, it went to a very vulnerable place. A place where I found myself questioning and doubting the adequacy of my love for our Creator. I felt this sense of searing shame and vulnerability admitting aloud this very fact over dinner, asking, what kind of minister am I? Is this merely an intellectual enterprise for me? Is that all it is? And as I asked these questions, my beloved Keita stopped me dead in my tracks. She put down her chopsticks, she wiped her mouth, and she looked me straight in the eyes and said, and this is paraphrasing, I'm not sure about this. It just came to me. But I think our ability to love God is proportional to our ability to love ourselves. Silence. We change the subject. Now, for some of you sitting in the pews this morning, you perhaps know that feeling when your partner or your spouse just casually tosses something out there and you suspect that they just might be right. But you don't want to admit that, do you? Like, you'll go kicking and screaming, clinging to your old belief systems before you'd give them the satisfaction. Thanks, Keita. But the fact of the matter is that I couldn't shake the question this week. Could it really be that I can only love God insofar as I am able to love myself? And what would it mean if I really don't love myself? Then does that mean that I don't love God? Imposter! Then what business do I have standing up here today preaching to all of you? What gives me the right? What authority do I have? And then I had a brighter idea, and I simply turned to the text. Thankfully, Jesus doesn't mince words in Mark, so even a concussed ordination candidate could understand them. This text for today helped me to remember Jesus' call, his charge to each and every one of us, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, there's a reason that I pursued ministry and let's not say physics. First of all, I'm not very good at math. But that aside, I can still recognize that the order of operations in Jesus' command is problematic. First, love God. Second, love neighbor as self, which only serves to bring me back around to the initial question, how can I love God if I don't love me? Thanks a lot, Keita. This circle is now getting ridiculous. But hey, for all I know, maybe in antiquity, people just didn't suffer from low self-esteem, which is why Jesus made self-love sound so self-evident. Just love other people as yourself, okay? I mean, how hard could it be? Care for others like you care for yourself. Have compassion for others like you have compassion for yourself. Yet, when I read the Hosea text, it cried out to me and reminded me of the reality of today. That when it comes to ourselves and our hearts, so many of us remain fallow, unattended to, unloved, and uncultivated by our own being. You see, instead of tilling our own land, of caring and of nourishing ourselves, we often leave the landscape of our personhood neglected. Instead, oftentimes we run our lives depleted of the nutrients and the fertile soil that is needed to cultivate love, both for ourselves and for our God. And that is what we're here to talk about today. Because in the midst of our stewardship season, we have been talking about making investments. We have been exploring how we might be better stewards in our communities, in our church, and in our own very lives. But what about the investment that God has made in us? How about the gifts and the graces that abound in our lives, the abundance and the talents that we have been given? Do we think for 1 second that God wants those gifts and those talents to remain fallow? You see, God invests in us in each and every moment of our precious lives. And right now, God is calling for his return on investment. Our investment, our own investment in our very selves. So what might that investment look like, you might ask? Well, in order to answer that, I think that it's important we backtrack a bit and better understand what this call to self-love really means. So for this, I brought some props. I guess that's the thing to do in worship today. Some very important props, I might add. Legos. So, I have here a little Lego character. I like superheroes, particularly DC over Marvel. Just my preference. I have this little guy. He's called the Riddler. You know him? Okay, cool. So what I want to do is I want to take the Riddler. I want to pull him apart and see what he's really made of. So I'm going to need your help. Who wants to help me figure out what this guy's all about? Come on, don't be shy. I know you're not a shy bunch. Okay, Kim, pull off a piece of the Riddler. Let's see what this guy's made of, huh? Pull him apart. What are we doing? Just take a piece. His whole torso will come apart. Oh, she just took his legs off. Well, I'll tell you what. Hang on to that. So what I just saw you pull off there is hubris, that the Riddler is made of hubris. So that's interesting. Let's just take note of that. Who else wants to pull this guy apart? Show a hand. Come on, anybody, anybody. Peter, thank you. Pick a piece, any piece. Let's see what this guy's really made of. He took his hat. Okay, we've got the Riddler's hat. Okay, that's going to be anger. So we know now hubris and anger. That's what makes up the Riddler. Great. Who else? Who else is going to pull this thing apart? Jackie, I see you in the back. All right. Let's pull him apart. Take a piece. What are we taking? Oh, I think by default you just took his banana. I'm not sure why he has a banana, but that's fine. You hold on to that banana, because that right there, that's going to be guilt. So now we've got guilt. The Riddler's made up of guilt. We've got a couple more pieces here. Who else wants to join in the fun? All right, John, you're a good sport. Take a piece. Pick a piece, any piece. That's great. We're going to take his staff. You know that staff right there? That's shame. So now we've got shame. But we still got a couple pieces left. Who'd like a shot? Okay, Jim, great. Take a part. Oh, you're going to take his head? He's taking his head. Oh, my goodness. Okay, he just did that. He just took his head. That head right there, I think, is, gosh, what could that head be? Shame, guilt, anger. How about fear? Fear sounds good. All right, I've got one piece remaining. Who wants my last piece? Ah, Lauren, good. You get jealousy. Okay, so we just pulled the Riddler apart, and he was made up of some pretty ugly stuff, wasn't he? So let me ask you this. If the Riddler is made up of all of this stuff, anger, fear, jealousy, hubris, and the other things that I can't remember I said right now, tell me where that leaves room for the grace of God to enter. And tell me where the self-love is. So let's just play along for a little bit longer. I happen to have some more Legos. This Lego is already dismantled. I'm just wondering what it would look like if we put somebody back together with some different attributes, with some different stuff. Huh? So who'd like to pick a piece here? Anybody? Okay, well, Peter will take one. You could take a piece. Take any piece. Okay, so we've got his torso area. Yes, that's Batman. That's Batman. So that's going to be love. I want you to hang on to that for a second. Bonnie, did I see your hand? Take a piece. What do we have here? We've got his head.
Yep.
We've got his head. Okay, great. So we've got love. His head is going to be compassion. Peter, would you mind putting that on? Let's reassemble this guy. Who else? All right, Jane. Good. Go ahead, take a piece. So we've got heart and compassion. Oh, we've got his legs. Batman needs legs, last I checked. All right, his legs, my friends, this is going to be forgiveness. Let's put that with Batman. So now we've got forgiveness. We've got a few other pieces. Who else? Oh, Glee, thank you. What else? Go in there. Oh, his cape. Oh, that's so essential. So his cape, my friends, this is going to be patience. So now we've got patience. We've got two more pieces. Who's up for it? Oh, thank you, Bunny. How about that? One of these flying bat, I don't even know what this is. Hey, but this, I'll tell you what it is. It is going to be unconditional love. So you want to put that in his hand? Great. And then Wayne, I think I saw you volunteer for the last piece. There we go. We got another little bat boomerang thingamajig. Okay. And so this one is going to be peace. So there we go. He's working very diligently at putting this back together. I don't think I could have picked a better person to do this task right now. So there he is. There he is, Batman. Filled with unconditional love, filled with peace, filled with forgiveness. What else did I say? Yeah, patience. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So this guy, he has a little bit of a different composition than the Riddler did, no? So what is the point of me having you dismember and remember Legos? Here's the point. You see, when we're like the Riddler, when we're so chock full of our own ego and our own pain, where is the space for the grace of God to enter? Where can the love of God penetrate us when we are so hardened? But when we give to ourselves in godly love, when we assemble ourselves or put ourselves back together with love and forgiveness and peace and patience, which I would describe as true and authentic godly love, what can happen? Simply put, when we look at these superheroes and we take them apart and we put them back together in love, this is what we can find. That self-love and God's love are one and the same. Because when we fill ourselves with compassion, when we give ourselves forgiveness, when we are patient and kind and gentle with ourselves, you know what we're doing? We are extending the same love to ourselves that God extends to us in each and every moment of our lives. By investing in these gifts, by extending ourselves these graces, we are simultaneously honoring God's love and God's investment in each and every one of us. We are making space for God's grace to enter. So when Mark says, love your God, we demonstrate this love through the love of ourselves. And when we can love ourselves, we can love our neighbors. When we love ourselves, our ground no longer lies fallow. When we love ourselves, we reap the sweetness of God's steadfast love and his righteousness as drops of a gentle rainfall. When we love ourselves, God meets us there. So, as I said in the beginning of this sermon, I never thought of head trauma as being something sacred. But now I know otherwise. Because in this episode of my life, in this season of my life, I've had to be patient. I've had to be gentle. I've had to slow down and to take better care of my being. I've been tasked with investing in myself in ways that, had I been full speed, I probably would have ignored. And if it were not for this recent trauma, perhaps the question behind this sermon would never have arisen. Maybe I wouldn't have doubted my love for God. And maybe Keto wouldn't have rocked me with the reality that I am called to love myself more. So God, I'm learning. I do know how much you love your children. I do know how much you constantly invest in us. Now please, help us to invest better in ourselves, in one another, and in you, just as your Son has taught us. Let our ground not lay fallow. Let us honor you in our reverence for ourselves. God, in this we pray. Amen.